Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, from God the Father who sent that Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit, who uses his word to tell us all about the forgiveness that is ours in Christ. It is in his name that we gather this morning. As you and I take a look at our second lesson from Romans chapter 8 this morning, you and I are going to be encouraged. Act like children. You guys probably have maybe a month or so left, maybe a couple months left, where you can maybe get away with acting like children. Usually, however, and you're running out of time, usually if you see the phrase act like children, there's usually another word that comes in front of it. Don't. Or stop. Don't act like children. Stop acting like children. Now, if you're a child, this doesn't apply to you because you're still learning. You're still growing. It's when we cut a little bit beyond that, when it isn't quite so cute, when you and I start acting like children. Sometimes we don't get our way. Sometimes it doesn't go quite the way you and I intended it to. Now, if you're 5 or 6, then perhaps pouting is what you and I tend to do because we don't know how else to handle it. But if you guys start pouting, I'm not even sure the next couple of months works anymore. What are you laughing about? It certainly doesn't work for you. We can't pout anymore. We're supposedly over that. We are supposedly got better ways to handle things, and so we're told stop acting like children when things don't go our way. Usually it's the negative things that come to mind when we think about acting like children. There is something that I want that you have. And so we fight over it. We pull on it. I have an idea that teddy bear is not going to last very long. As you and I grow older, we tend to at times still wish we had something that somebody else had. We might still be tempted to want to grab and tug and pull. But that's when we're told, stop acting like children. But you know what? It's not always a bad thing to act like children. Our Lord and our Savior told us that we're supposed to have faith like a child. Every now and then you and I are reminded to have that same kind of carefree trust in our Lord and our God. Sometimes it's all right if Grandpa's acting like the children as you spend that time together and as you play together. It's not always a bad thing. So today, act like children. Remember these words from our second lesson, Romans chapter 8. Indeed, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery so that you are afraid again, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we call out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself joins our spirit in testifying that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, we are also heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, since we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. You and I are encouraged this morning to act like children, no matter how old we are, even though if you're graduating today, even if it's been a while, these are the kind of children that our Savior wants us to act like. Act like children because you and I now know that we are no longer slaves. Slaves has got a bad taste in our mouth. We don't like that idea. We do not like that concept because of what has been done and because of how people have been treated in slavery. You know what a slave is. A slave has no will of his own. A slave simply has to do whatever the slave is told to do. He is not asked to think. He's not asked to agree. He's not asked to suggest. The slave may know that this is not going to work. The slave may know that there's a better way to do it. The slave may think that he's got a better idea of how things are supposed to happen. But his job is just simply do as he is told. Don't question. Just do. And that's sometimes hard. And sometimes when we act like children, we tend to do that. Maybe not so much in a good way, but we sometimes just kind of go along. We just do what we're told to do. We don't think, we don't ask. We just, if somebody says do it, then I'm going to go do it. If somebody says this is right, then I'm just simply going to take their word for it. We act as if we have no will of our own. And we're just going to do as we are told. As you and I think about what that concept of slavery is all about, we are reminded that there was a time when we were, and there's still part of us who still is, enslaved. Enslaved by sin. Our will is then subject to sin. And rather than thinking things through, rather than listening to somebody else, we just simply go with the flow. You and I find that there was a time when we were enslaved to our own sinful natures. That sinful nature, that sinful, selfish part of us that just simply said, I'm going to do whatever it is that I feel like doing. It is up to you to decide what you want to do and be and go. It is up to you to determine how you're going to think and act. And that is touted as freedom. Sounds like freedom. If I get to do whatever it is that I want to do, if I get to say whatever I feel like saying, if I get to act however I wish to act out, isn't that freedom? And the world is right there. The world all around you is busy trying to tout that kind of freedom, trying to tell you, don't let yourself get boxed in. Don't let yourself get boxed into a certain way of thinking or a certain attitude that you're supposed to have. You are now more enlightened. We've got these things kind of figured out. We are free to understand differences. We are free to see how different people respond in different situations, how different people feel about themselves at any given time and moment. You and I are free to do those things. And you may have to face some of that as you move out of high school and as you move into the world, wherever that next step is. There are going to be those temptations out there. There is going to be this world that is going to be claiming, don't box yourself in. You need to think for yourself, but listen closely. Listen closely to that world that is busy telling you need to think for yourself. What it's really saying is you need to think like the world. That as soon as you disagree with the idea that anything goes, and you can do and act and feel however you want, if you get outside that box, the world doesn't want that kind of freedom. Of course, Satan loves it. Satan wants nothing more than you and I listen to that sinful selfishness and that you buy into the world that we are now free to think however we want to think. Because Satan wants nothing more than to put you back into slavery. He wants nothing more than to have you be enslaved with him forever in hell. No wonder the apostle says, you did not receive a spirit again so that you are afraid again. There was a time when we were afraid, whether we consciously knew it or not. We are afraid of what other people thought. How are people going to react to what I'm about to say? We are afraid of not fitting in. We were afraid that if we actually do say what we think, if we actually do express what we believe, that somehow maybe this world's going to get us. So we were afraid. We were afraid of losing control, letting somebody else have control. We are not enslaved. We are not, once again, afraid. Satan would like to try to get us afraid again. He may now try to come back at you after you have now heard who Jesus is and what he has accomplished for you. He may try to come out with a couple more lies now. Are you sure you're good enough? Are you sure God likes you? After Satan convinces you of what he calls freedom, and as soon as he talks you into living that freedom, he's going to turn right around and says, now how could you? You who claim to be a child of God. If that's how you're going to talk, if that's how you're going to act, are you really sure that God likes you? That's why we marvel today. We marvel at these short verses that remind us that because of the Spirit of God and the work of God the Father through the work of God the Son, you and I rejoice in the fact that we can really act like children in a good way. Because we're no longer enslaved to sin, no longer enslaved to fear. But now we really are set free. Act like children as you and I think about what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit does. Marvel at the fact that the Father calls you sons. He's not necessarily interested in male and female here. But when he talks about sons, he's reminding us of this status that we have. How amazing it is that you and I get to act like children. We get to act like the Father's sons. Your status is that you will inherit the estate. You are part of the family because you have been adopted. When you and I were enslaved to sin, when we were born in our sin and enemies of God, we were outside the family. We had no rights, we had no privileges, we had no business thinking that we deserve anything from our Lord and our God. Through this amazing gospel, you have been taught throughout your lifetime, we have been taught throughout our lifetime to rejoice in the fact that we are now God's sons, adopted into the family. We now have all the rights and privileges of knowing that we are going to inherit everything that the Father wants to give to you and to me. We are His children. We are His sons. That's the status that you and I have. You've already heard that other word too. We're children. Sons tends to stress the status that we have as those who will inherit. Children stresses the relationship. Sons that can climb up on God the Father's lap and say, Abba, Father. Sons and daughters that can climb up on the Father's lap and say, Daddy. That we've got this father-child relationship. Not one of fear, not one of a business arrangement, but that amazing relationship that a daddy has with his children. Act like children. You're the Father's sons. The Father's children. We get to act like that. We get to act like children because of God the Son. Jesus really is the only heir, right? Jesus is the only one who's actually done what the Father said needed to be done in order to enter into heaven. God the Father looks at His creation and He says, in order to live, I expect two things. I expect no sin and I expect complete holiness. So if you are perfect and have no sin, then you can live. Jesus is the only one who did that. The only one who was absolutely perfect in what He said and in what He did and how He treated others. He is the only one who was actually perfectly free to do the things that God the Father sent Him to do. He's the heir. He is the one who has the rightful claim on the throne of heaven. He is the one who has the right to inherit everything that God the Father wishes to give. When He looks at you and me, what does He see? Well, He looks at you and me and He sees the exact opposite, doesn't He? He sees sin. He sees the selfishness. He sees the times that we refuse to act like His children. He sees all of the guilt that we pay, that we need to pay off. He certainly sees people who do not deserve to be called the Father's sons or children. But guess what? We're heirs too. Because everything that God the Father sees in you and me, He transferred to the cross. All that guilt, all that sin, all that imperfection, that went to the cross. And so when God looked at Jesus on that cross, that's where He saw the sin. That's where He saw the rebellion. That's where He saw people who were refusing to act like children. And there it was paid for. Now He looks at you and me, and He sees everything that Jesus did. Everything that Christ accomplished has been transferred to you and to me. His perfection is now credited to you. His payment for all sin is credited to you. We're heirs too, co-heirs with Christ. Act like children. Act like the children who are heirs of the Heavenly Father. We are the brothers and sisters of our brother Jesus. Because of all that He has done for you and for me, we get to act like children. And that's also because of what the Holy Spirit does. You and I rejoice that those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. The Spirit is the one who does the leading. It started at baptism, continues in word and in sacrament. Through that regular contact with the gospel, that's where you and I fight off all the temptations that may try to throw us back into the slavery of sin. That is where you and I rejoice in the promises of what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have done for you. As your God in His amazing power makes you and saves you, it is the Spirit who leads you and keeps you focused on your Lord and your Savior. And He's the one who testifies along with you. We want to act like children. We want to act like those who belong to our Father. We want to act like those who are brothers and sisters of Jesus. We want to act like those who are led by the Spirit. And the Spirit is right there saying, yeah, that's right. That desire that you have, that desire that you want to live for your Lord and your Savior, and you want to thank Him for everything that He has done for you, that's one of the proofs that you are acting like children. God's children. And the Spirit who gives you that desire and the Spirit who gives you that faith is right there testifying and working right along beside you. As the capital S Spirit testifies with the small S Spirit, that new life of faith inside your own heart, planted there by the triune God. Act like children. Act like children who know that God is your Father. And rejoice in everything that the Father does for you. Act like children. Children who know that you are going to inherit heaven just like your brother Jesus is. Act like children. Children who continually are led by that Spirit, who stay in this Word no matter where He now takes you, no matter where we find ourselves in life. Act like those children. And then just imagine. Just imagine the praise God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit gets. And just imagine the blessing that you will be to those around you and to this world when you act like children. Amen.